Hi, you're listening to the My Body, My Story podcast.
I feel like it's actually broken down a big blockage for me, because I actually feel like now I might be able to enjoy taking pictures of myself.
This is the 45 over 45 chapter where we celebrate rule breakers and role models, the women who inspire us to live life our way and to show their sensuality, beauty, soul, and true essence. Here, we talk about what it's like to be 45 plus, adjusting to the changes that come with time, and we listen to the stories of our participants. If you have an interesting story, we'd love for you to participate. You can email us at info@alexandrawalker.com. That's Alexandra spelt with a K-S. Or visit our website, alexandrawalker.com.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the My Body, My Story project. And today with us, Miran. And I'll be asking her a few questions. And let's start. Hi, Miran, and welcome to the studio. Welcome to the project.
Hello.
And tell us 10 facts about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm 60 years old. I grew up in Australia. I was born in Sydney, and I've lived in Sydney most of my life, apart from spending about 10 years up on the Sunshine Coast near Noosa.
So where do you like better? Which place do you like more, Sydney or Sunshine?
Possibly Sydney, Sunshine Coast got a bit, the problem was I was in a relationship that wasn't very good, so that makes any place
okay.
Not feel so good.
Emotional memories.
Yes, so was pretty keen to leave by the time 10 years were up once we split up. So I'm retired these days, but in the past I've done quite a lot of different things. Most of them were somewhat media related. I've done some work in publishing and in television, and somehow, even though I had no training for it, I wound up working in graphic design in my last job.
That's interesting.
I sort of went from publishing, working on a small magazine where I did a bit of everything, and I sort of had training in editorial work, but then I walked in a children's book publishing company, and somehow I was meant to be a production assistant, but I wound up doing all this graphic stuff where I was designing. They did a lot of licensed products, like things for the ABC, the Wiggles, and Play School, and they did all sorts. They used to sell their stuff through the post office, actually. And so they had not just books, but they had things like activity books and little children's recipe books, stamp sets. So I ended up having to designing all these random things, like designing boxes of dinosaur stickers and prepare the layout and do all the box design and everything, none of which I had any training for. But
probably you have a talent for that. Creative talent.
It's probably not my best talent, but that was what I was doing. And then I wound up working on a local magazine where I did a lot of everything, but it was mostly graphic design too. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to university for a while and studied anthropology, which I absolutely loved.
Anthropology? Interesting.
Yes. I actually wish I'd discovered it much earlier in my life. But then unfortunately somehow I ended up moving up to Queensland with my now ex-husband, and I intended to go back and finish off some of these studies, but everything just got too complicated and I didn't. So
sometimes men can be on our way to develop ourselves.
It was not I don't think it was a relationship that had did a lot for my life in many ways. Took more than it gave. Anyhow, so I've been back in Sydney after living up the Sunshine Coast for, I also along the way I've got one son who's now 33 years old.
On the way.
Yeah, from a short first marriage. He's really lovely. One son, been married twice. The second marriage was much longer than the first one, but wasn't much better. It was worse, probably. Anyhow, and along the way, what else along the way? One thing that's dominated in some ways, been a big issue in my life is that when I was a child, it was discovered that one of my legs was shorter than the other. Mm-hmm. And back then, the doctor thought that I'd had polio and one leg didn't grow enough. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having leg lengthening surgery at the age of 10, which was pretty major. So that sort of overshadowed a lot of my teenage years because I spent a lot of time in plaster and then I had to wear a leg brace. Ta-da. And then after that, they discovered that their original diagnosis was completely wrong and I had a completely different condition, which caused one leg to grow too much.
Oh, gosh.
That's also meant that I've actually got an ongoing vascular condition in the leg that's bigger, which also means that my feet are completely different sizes, which is very expensive because I have to buy two pairs of shoes.
Oh, really? So you have one leg?
One leg's much, they're pretty much the same length, but my knees are in different places and one leg is much wider than the other and my feet are about three sizes different. They're not a little bit.
That's interesting. So,
yeah.
I haven't noticed.
Well, that's how I've learnt to dress in such a way that people tend not to notice. But it's actually something I've always been very self-conscious about.
Yeah, yeah. But that's only you know that.
But because of the circulation problems, which are an ongoing thing and are never going to get better, that means that these days I find I have to have sclerotherapy treatments and other treatments on my veins every 3 or 4 years in one leg to keep it functioning reasonably well. Mm. So it's a bit like maintenance. Anyhow, so really one of the biggest things when I look back in my life is I've had to face a lot of different challenges. There was the physical challenge of my leg problems going through the surgery when I was young and then once I sort of had recovered from that, then they re-diagnosed and I had to wear a circulation stocking and so sort of felt like that's part of my life that's never been okay. And possibly as a result of all of that, I don't know, I have had struggles over the years with mental health somewhat, with quite a bit of depression. But I have learnt that one of the things that I've found is that, so I guess I've had challenges, those literal challenges that I've had to overcome, but I've also found that sometimes it's a good way to challenge yourself in things that you do and often doing the things that give you the greatest, that you're most fearful of.
Yeah.
If you do challenge yourself on those ones, it's often like it
benefits you the most.
It's a great thing to do, and I think it's a great way to keep yourself sort of feeling alive and growing.
Yeah, yeah.
And learning. Yeah. So, and that's an example of a couple of things like that I've done over the years is one stage when my son was small, I decided to go and get my motorbike license. Because I'd always fancied riding a motorbike, but it was exceptionally difficult for me because I never learnt to ride a bicycle when I was young, so mentally I had no concept of staying upright on two wheels, which made it really, really hard and took me an awful long time to get the licence because it was difficult for me, but I was...
But did you get it?
Very pleased when I got it, and even though I don't have a motorbike anymore, I still have my licence because I'm hardly going to let it go when I work that hard for it.
Exactly. Who knows when maybe one day you will need it again?
Well, I always used to have a fantasy, actually, of maybe being a sort of wild bike riding granny.
Do you have grandchildren?
No. And I'm not sure if I'm likely to get any.
Still something to look forward to.
At least I've got the option of being a mad old lady riding a motorbike.
Yeah.
If needs be. And another one for my 50th birthday, along with getting the tattoo, but another of my greatest fears has always been heights. I'm not good with heights. So for some reason, some of my friends contributed to it as a present, but they sort of knew it was something I'd be thinking about doing. I did a tandem parachute jump.
Oh, my God.
Which was just terrifying, but it was wonderful once they pulled the cord and you stopped free falling.
So you liked stretching yourself. Yeah,
got back down to the ground, it was like, So, but also that was one of the reasons I decided to do this session is because it's also something out of my comfort zone and I've never been very comfortable with posing. I have a real mental blockage with even taking selfies of myself.
We're just recording this interview after the photo shoot already, and I have to say
I feel like it's actually broken down a big blockage for me, because I actually feel like now I might be able to enjoy taking pictures of myself.
Because you're really good with the posing, and I really enjoy it, and it's very fashiony, you know, stylish posing as well. So I don't know. I think it's just an example that how we can have this blockage in our brain while we're very good with something and we just tell ourselves that we're not.
Yes. But so like I said, with now those other things, challenges I've set for myself, this was another one of the reasons I decided to do it.
Yeah.
I think they're the main things.
About you.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we move to the aging subject, and so you said you did things for your 50th birthday. What about your 60th birthday? What did you do for yourself on your 60th?
Actually, my 60th birthday was pretty much a non-birthday.
Okay. So nothing to remember.
No, because... it was about 3 or 4 years ago that I separated from my ex-husband and sort of getting through all of that and selling our property up on the Sunshine Coast and moving back to Sydney and finding a place for myself and sort of having to start my life completely over again has been very challenging. And what was the question? I've forgotten.
So what did you do? What special did you do for your 60th?
I lie. I forgot. I went to Bali, which was somewhere I had never had a particular urge to go, but I needed to go somewhere restorative. And I found this wonderful place called Escape Haven in Bali, which is a sort of luxury women's retreat. So it's like a small boutique-y kind of resorty place, but it's only women and not too many. So it's sort of like a small group and you all have nice rooms and they feed you lovely food. It's healthy, but it's not like a health resort.
Yeah.
You get plentiful food.
Yeah.
They don't sell alcohol, but if anybody wants to bring along a bottle of wine or a drink, that's not a problem either. And they have all sorts of wonderful activities. And I did do some few. I forgot about this completely. Funny. I managed to go snorkeling with manta rays, which was very exciting.
Wow.
That was amazing. I jumped out of the boat we were in. I remember jumping out into the ocean. I stuck my head in the water and there's a manta ray like 10, a massive one, like about 10 feet below me. I was nearly on top of it. Gave me a bit of a start. And I climbed up a Mount Batur, the volcano, which was very long haul.
Wow. So you were, what's it called, hiking as well?
Yes. Which reassured me that my knee, which is a little bit dodgy, one of my knees, is still functioning well enough if it got me up that.
Wow, that sounds good. So what does aging mean to you?
I think there's a certain sense of relief in being past some of the worst challenges in some ways. Things are still, while I still have challenges in my life, the sort of some of the just the real getting so emotionally stressed, and there's more stuff that I've been able to let go, mm-hmm. Which I've really appreciated. And now that I've been in my new place for a while and on my own, I'm actually quite enjoying it. Don't even feel as lonely as I did when I first moved in. Oh, that's the thing I forgot to mention. I've got two little dogs.
What's the breed?
They're miniature schnoodles. Aww. So that might be part of one of the reasons I don't feel so lonely.
Yeah.
I just started with one and then I got another who's only 5 months old. So she's a bit of a challenge at the moment. But they're lots of fun. They're very sweet.
But if you could go back in any age, what it would be? And why? And what advice would you give yourself at this age?
Okay. When I thought about that one, I thought to myself, I don't really think there is any age I would want to go back to. I really don't. I've met a lot of people who say they had wonderful time at school and wish they could go back to this or that. But I don't think there's ever been much I've wished I could go back to.
So you're enjoying your age?
I do have one little memory of when I was young, waking up one morning and just feeling this pure joy of being alive, and I was so excited because the sun was shining and I rushed to the back door and I could see the dewdrops on the grass, and it was just this feeling of just really simple joy in the aliveness of everything. That's the only moment that I could
remember
I would ever want to go back to, but it's sort of like a feeling I've been trying to recapture, and slowly feel like I'm getting back towards recapturing some of that. Mm. It's sort of a bit like going full circle and refinding or re-establishing the sort of playfulness and that you have of a child, which it's not so heavy and weighted with all the stuff of life, and you can more easily be a part of life and enjoy things. And I think that's something that does change for a lot of people with age.
I think so.
You see people, you know, I live in an over 55s complex. When they have their Christmas party, I don't go to a lot of things, but they have a Christmas party each year with a live band. And that's always lots of fun because all these old people from, you know, 55 up to quite elderly, some of them are in their 90s, get up and dance, and even if they're a bit creaky, and they're all just dancing because they're it for the fun of it. And it's so different when you're younger and you're out somewhere and people are dancing, but they're all sort of, it's a performance. They're looking at each other, they're out to meet people, things like that.
And yeah, just, sounds good.
I appreciate that when people are that bit older, that they are more able to sometimes to be in the moment and to be a bit more honest, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, like you think, why worry about past it's already gone, and why worry about future? It's not there yet, so just enjoy the moment here and now.
Yes.
So if we move to body image questions, and I know that it's you can relate to that subject, and you said already your story about, but what do you think? I'll ask the other question first. If your body could talk, what do you think it would ask you or tell you?
When I thought about that one last night, I thought, I reckon my body would turn around and say, why were you so hard on me all these years?
Yeah.
Can't you just be a little nicer, just be a little gentler on me and maybe a bit more consistent?
So your body wanted more acceptance?
For certain. More acceptance and more love. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what do you think the main causes of body image issues that people have?
Well,
apart from objective things, yeah, like something is not working in your body, still, like you said, you always felt uncomfortable. Why? People would react differently on you, or you think it was just inside
For me, it came from a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And obviously these days people talk a lot more about the influence of things like social media, which has a lot of impact. But back when I was growing up, I think there was a... I did get a lot of sort of senses from my family, little comments that would be critical here and there, which were very damaging to me. Mm-hmm. My father in particular, I think he thought he was being kind, but because he was very aware of the problems I'd had with my legs, he actually took me aside when I was about, 14, sometime in my teens, right when you're at that most, least confident age.
Yeah.
And he took
me
aside and he said to me, I hope you realise that men will find your legs unattractive.
Why did he do that?
And I always wondered, and my mother has said to me since that, he was protecting me. He was protecting me somehow. But it was very hurtful, and it's been done a lot of therapy work, and it's still... It's that one phrase that always still rings there. And I mean, he must have had some bit of an obsession on some level, I think, because he also... he used to tell this story about how when he first met my mother on one of his early dates, he made sure to take her swimming so that he could check out her body and make sure everything was nicely symmetrical.
Gosh. And
So that sort of left me with a feeling for many, many years that just this idea that somehow there was something wrong with me and it would scar me, particularly when it came to the opposite sex.
Yeah.
So often there are things like that within families, or there's the weight. I was a bit overweight for many years, but particularly in my teens, mm-hmm. probably as a result of spending all the time in traction and hospitals and not being able to do any exercise. And my father also used to criticise me for that. He used to offer me money if I could lose weight, certain amounts of weight.
Seriously?
And so it was always, there were always conditions. Mm. The body had a lot of conditions. And
so you think that in your particular case, it was to do with the family?
In my case, there was a lot to do with the family, mm. and as well as
What about your physical school, like peers and school mates?
Well, I can say apparently I was a very, very highly sensitive child, so I was teased. But I sort of remember being teased early on when they first discovered the difference between my legs, because for a while I had to wear a shoe with a raise on it. Mm-hmm. One shoe had a raise on it, and I remember being teased for that. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards I remember when I first went to high school, changed to a new school, and I was on crutches, and all the girls thought it was very exciting. Everybody thought that was great, and so the first day they all wanted to come up and use my crutches, and then once they just had a go at my crutches, because I couldn't play games with them and everything, they just didn't want anything to do with me. So I became one of those kids that sits in a corner of the playground and just reads a book. So
which is useful.
It is useful. It's very useful. I'm extremely well read as a consequence.
So, but how do you think, because you already touched on that.
So there was family, there were other social things, little comments like, again, at school, there was one stage where I was wearing a circulation stocking and a teacher came up behind me and said, "Ooh, what's that on your leg?"
So it seems like in your story, kids were more kind than adults.
Somewhat, but but definitely there was big family thing that went on, and I think often it's a combination of things within families and schooling, all the people you're surrounded with when you're growing up that start those things.
Yeah.
And then often, especially in teenagehood as well, often if you're not quite built like the other girls or whatever, and you see all of them wearing certain kinds of things, but you can't quite wear the same things, it's just...
Yeah, it just people, makes you...
It's that sort thinking. Of age where people always want to look and feel the same.
How do you believe that negative body image can affect a relationship? You touch on that a bit. Like, do you think... It's caused problems in your relationship?
It definitely affected my relationship. However, I think it was more the effect that it had on me, mm-hmm. which created a real load of negative self-worth, that it was that sort of sense of self-worth that had more of an impact on the relationship. But... interestingly, in my ex-husband, we were married for 20 years and I didn't find out until after we had split up how insecure he had been about his body. I had absolutely no idea to what extent, and I thought it's amazing that you can be with somebody for so long and people just hide these things away because... they are sort of scarring, and people are often, they're the things that people feel uncomfortable to admit to. Yeah. And it does cause them to withdraw in relationships because they can't be fully open and honest. And I think both of us had a lot of that where we really weren't quite fully present.
So you didn't discuss that? It wasn't kind of a common thing to discuss?
Well, we sort of did, but sometimes in relationships you think you're talking about things, but there's levels and levels, and yep. often people yep. still keep certain stuff deeper down, and
yeah,
until they feel like it doesn't really matter anymore, there's certain things they... can be unwilling to admit.
When do you think it's the time, usually, when they think it doesn't matter with age?
I think certainly with age makes a big difference, but also, for instance, with my ex-husband, certain things he wouldn't have ever told me except unless the relationship was completely over and done with and he thought we'd both moved on. So... only then could he say admit to certain things.
After your relationship finished.
Yeah, yeah. But if there'd been any hope of anything, he probably never would have. So, body image is just so tied in with the sense of security, and it's very hard to have a full, really secure relationship if people can't at least, even if they've got insecurities about their body, to be able to... It's about being... bearing yourself, but metaphorically speaking.
Yeah.
As well as literally.
I agree with you. That's an interesting thought. Mm. So how did you overcome these insecurities when they come up when you were younger, and how do you do it now? What's the difference?
Well, when I was younger, often I just used to withdraw from things. I wouldn't take part in certain sports or activities because I felt that I couldn't, I wasn't able to move in the way the other girls moved, or, certain things as a result of my surgery.
Well, during the photo shoot, you moved really well.
Well, the bizarre thing was I was always hyper-flexible. Sometimes I've wondered if the doctor put one of my legs back the wrong way because it one's extra flexible. Also, I did find after, during my teens, when I was, the doctors were insisting I wore this horrible circulation compression stocking that used to, that was ugly as and very uncomfortable. I ended up reaching a point and I took up swimming, and I used to go swimming every day, started off, not, although I was a decent swimmer, when I started I used to find it an effort to swim 5 laps of an Olympic swimming pool, but past a certain point I just got into a routine. I pretty much used to go every day for many, 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 many years, yeah. Largely because I felt that it would help my circulation. I guess over the years I've learned a lot about health, diet, fitness, all sorts of things, anything that can help help improve things rather than make it worse. And so I've tried to implement those things. And even though now I still have a compression stocking, I tend to only wear it when I really feel like I have to. And I substitute with other things. I make sure when I can, I keep my legs elevated because otherwise it tends to swell. But it sort of, when I was younger, every time I'd meet somebody, that'd be the first thing I'd talk about, as if I had to make excuses for myself because I assumed that it would be something about my body that was going to be a problem. And these days I think much less about it. I just don't think too much about it, but also over the years I've gotten used to different certain ways of dressing, little tricks and things that I use, which help to just divert attention, I guess, and focus on the better features of my body. Because I've got really long legs, I ended up with a bonus inch or so. So I've got extra long legs. So that I can highlight that by wearing leggings and
you could have been a model.
Tall boots or things. I found sometimes in summer, even if you, particularly if my leg's getting a bit swollen or it's not looking so good, or I have to wear my stocking often, it'll be a really good look. I can wear a really cool summer dress with, say, a pair of cowboy boots, which hides the stocking if I'm wearing it, or if my ankle's getting puffy, at least it's not so much on show.
Yeah. So you have tricks.
I have lots of little tricks. I've built up a big repertoire of tricks over the years.
That's why you're so creative. So you have to be creative with the with the problem solving.
But what I've learned over the years is, by and large, people don't notice.
Exactly.
People don't walk up to you and look, hone in on a certain feature. Oh my God, look at those legs. One leg's thicker than the other. I mean, they might if I walked around with a mini skirt and I don't know, but was putting everything on show. If I did what I used to do, which was tell everybody. But if you just, by and large, people just don't notice half the things that, I think that's the thing that happens with aging too. You start realizing that hell, a lot of the stuff you focus on, you look in the mirror and you see, oh no, there's a blackhead there. Oh, there's this, there's that. Or I'm looking a bit bloated today. Most of this stuff, people don't notice.
I think people
are
more worried about themselves than how somebody else looks. And they may not even, notice obvious things because they're...
And as people get older, you realise that what is beautiful and attractive in people of whatever sex is usual has a lot more to do with what's inside.
Yes.
I have an aunt who recently died, and I visited her a couple of weeks just before her death. And she'd been ill for some time, and she was still being cared for at home by her daughter and granddaughter. And she was bedbound, and she sort of kept dozing off and things. She was lucky that she hadn't had any dementia, even though she's been quite ill. But there was something about her, and I went in and she just looked at me and smiled. And I thought, she looks more beautiful now than she ever has, despite the fact that she was old and those changes, because it was the person that she was. She was a really lovely person who just loved people, cared for people, and she was joyous and a very positive person. And it was genuinely like the beauty of her soul was becoming stronger as her body became weaker.
Yeah.
And I've only seen that on odd occasions, but when you do really see it, it's so striking. And I sort of think on the whole, as we become older, that you start recognising or being a little more attuned to those sort of things and looking for those qualities in other people rather than appreciating them far more than anything to do with literal body image or...
Yeah, I think so. Or the close people, like your son or your parents, they don't care how you look. They just want you to be next to them, just to give you love and to receive love. And I think it's nothing to do with the body image as well. And with age, what I understand that we really should care about our family, and they care about us more than anybody else. So why would you worry what others think about you?
Yes.
What is your way to bring yourself back to shape? Like if you feel low, or you feel like here and there a couple of kilos, or I know you slim, and whatever you
feel.
Well,
I used to worry about those things a lot more in the past than I did now.
Yeah.
And in fact, over the years, I pretty much discovered that, for instance, the more I tried to lose weight in the past, the harder it became. And generally when I've lost weight and been a good weight is when I stop paying any attention to anything and I'm happy and busy.
Yeah.
saying which, I do like to eat relatively healthy food, and I know what good meals constitute in, so I have had times where I've realised that I'm needed to focus on eating better and things like that. Although I found, again, as I've become older, it's become more like I need to focus on the quality of my meals for nutritional purposes rather than anything to do with body image. Because that makes a lot more difference. And I've also, over the years, I have done a lot of different types of exercise to help myself. I did find that over the years, although I swam for many years, that didn't seem to, I enjoyed it, but didn't seem to do a lot as far as toning the body or anything. I did find Pilates terribly effective when I did Pilates for many, many years, but not the sort of fitness Pilates that they have now. I used to do it at a clinical Pilates at a physiotherapist's place with the reformer and a trapeze table and things.
Well, now
which I
reformer
loved.
Is very popular.
Yeah. And after, you know, I did that for probably at least 10 years or something, a long time. And I wasn't paying much attention in particular to what I was eating back then, but obviously my body shape changed all so much and I didn't even notice because it was so gradual. Because I remember one day going somewhere and a friend said, look at your arms, they're so toned. And they've got this amazing shape. And I'm like, oh, okay, never noticed. unfortunately, that's one of the things I have noticed in recent years, though, is that especially between about, for me, say the last couple of years, just getting towards 60, 50, it's probably been in the last 2 years that I've noticed that a lot of my skin, especially on my body, especially like upper arms and things like that, seems to have gone a bit floop all of a sudden. And there's only so much you can do for that with exercise. Which is a bit sad, but I still try and do, and I've changed the sort of exercises I'm doing at the moment. I'm doing a special bone density weight training program.
Oh, that's interesting.
Twice a week, which is meant to be very effective, because my bone density is a bit borderline, and so that's good. And I'm also going to be restarting some swimming shortly because I recently signed up for CAN2, it's a charity that raises money for cancer, but they have all these training programs that you can join. And the quality of the training is amazing and apparently it's a really good way to meet people and make friends as well as getting fit. Part of doing it is you raise money for cancer as well. Anyhow, so I've signed up for one of these, which is going to be a totally new experience for me. So that program begins very shortly, early November, which means I have training every once a week in a swimming pool and once a week in the ocean because it's training for a 1 kilometre ocean swim.
Oh, wow.
So that will be exciting. I have done some ocean swimming, but after living in Queensland, I've been a bit wimpy about getting into the cold water. I figure I need to restart in summer and then maybe I can keep going.
Or you can use thermal.
Well, yes, that's another good option. I find these days, you know, I've needed to just slightly change the sort of exercise I'm doing as well as the diet, some of which is I have little things like I've got a bit of osteoarthritis in one knee, which is supposed to need a knee replacement at some point, but it's keeping on going. And I also, I've got a detached bicep tendon in my right arm, which only happened a year or so ago, which is a bit unfortunate because once it detaches, there's nothing you can do and it falls down your arm and you get a Popeye lump.
Oh, gosh. You're like deteriorating slowly with age.
That was a bit discouraging, but that seems to be doing okay because I left off doing some of the things I like for some time when it was really bad, but one of which was kayaking.
Oh.
But when I was in Bali, I went kayaking and it seemed to be fun, so I just like walking up the mountain. So I concluded that I better just get back to exercise and I'll just pretend everything's fine until it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Just and chances think are about probably function when it's better not. With exercise.
So. Okay, so my last question, and what is your favorite quote or maybe saying about being a woman?
Well, I am particularly fond of this particular one by Maya Angelou, which says, it speaks to me because I've always enjoyed reinventing myself in life every time, you know, going through phases and there's always challenges and you learn. She says, each of us has that right, that possibility to invent ourselves daily. If a person does not invent herself, she will be invented. I thought that was really important. So to be audacious enough to invent ourselves is wise.
Excellent.
And I think that really speaks to women because that's a pretty common thing that women are more likely to be invented, you know, shaped by things around them than men on the whole. So I think that's really, really important one. And that's probably the biggest thing I've been doing in the last couple of years too, after so many years of marriage, is just reinventing myself and rediscovering myself.
Excellent. Thank you, Miran. Thank you very much for such a great conversation and sharing your story. And I hope it will inspire someone. So if, as they say, if you could do it, anyone can do it.
Exactly. Yes. Well, thank you very much, Alexandra. It's been a fabulous day.
Thank you.
If you have an interesting story, we'd love for you to participate. You can email us at info@alexandrawalker.com. That's Alexandra spelt with a K-S. Or visit our website, alexandrawalker.com.